नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्णा. सो वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू on this Sunday festival of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir on the eve of Radha Ashtami. Hare Krishna. So originally all of us were living in the spiritual world with our beloved Lord Sri Krishna, all the family members. But at an unfortunate moment of time, we decided to leave him, thinking of not having his authority over us, rebelling against him, not trying to live under his rule or his control, and desiring to live independently, to enjoy independently of the Lord. And that brought us in the material world. But the original propensity of the living entity is to love and be loved by others. So after coming down in the material world, we had to accept a material body. And along with the material body, there was an influence of three modes of material nature, sattva, raja and tamaguna. Under the influence of three modes of material nature, there was an action by all of us through body. The action resulted into reaction, karma phala. Karma resulted into karma phala. Then karma phala made us bound to suffer or enjoy according to the quality of the karma phala. While suffering and enjoying the fruits of our action, there is separate chapter of threefold miseries. Suffering from the atrocities of nature. Too much rain, no rain, earthquake, cyclone, too much heat or too much cold. And then there is troubles caused by other living entities. When there is trouble caused by our own self. I want to become Prime Minister. There are 125 crores of people and only one seat of Prime Minister. So many things, you know. I want to achieve something which I am not capable of achieving and I get frustrated. I want to remain young but I get old. I am about to give my exam and my other ambitions come in between. So many and so many desires come. And in all this journey, right from leaving the spiritual world to accepting body, three modes of material nature, karma, karma phala bandhan, trividha tap and suffering, the propensity to love and propensity to be loved is somewhere lost. All the way. I mean, the propensity is there, but the actual experience is lost. Propensity will always be there because we are spirit souls and by nature we are Sachidananda, by nature we are pleasure seeking, Ananda Mayo Bhyasat, by nature we are part and parcel of the Lord who is full of all pleasure, full of resource of all, ocean of all pleasure. So we never lose our nature, but the nature gets covered and subdued somehow. And the result is when your nature is subdued, you feel frustrated, you feel unhappy. Today the world is, cannot imagine what kind of sufferings are there. No. You may have a very beautiful wife, but she may have so many problems of health and insecurity because of others are also eyeing on them. Or you may have a lot of wealth and people are envious of you. Some are cheating you, some are fooling you, some are stealing your wealth. You may be famous, people are envious of you. I mean, this material world is such a place that whether you are good or bad, whether you are happy with your things or not, suffering is guaranteed here. Whatever you do in the material world, suffering is guaranteed. And still we are trying to attempt to actually work harder and harder with newer and newer plans. to achieve that happiness which we want to actually achieve, which we have not achieved, which we want. And the newer plans we do, new actions we do as per the new plans, and still we suffer. And then we expand our family, expect things from our children, and children don't behave the way we want them to behave. Family doesn't behave. Then we give them all the amenities, and the amenities go wrong, and they get lost, get in problem. And whichever direction we hit here, we only hit the suffering, come across or get hit by suffering. And the most miseries in this world are because of lack of love. Most miseries are caused by faulty relationships, or the relationships which are very close to us. The most pain is caused to us by the close ones. Right? The potential of the nearest ones and dearest ones is the highest to give you pain. If someone else says something, it's okay, you still don't mind. But if your child says, your wife says, or your brother says, or your sister says, or your husband says, it's like the ultimate weapon on you. So all these things have to do with something or other with love. And love is such a phenomenon which everybody is looking for. Whether we are bird, whether we are ant, whether we are dog or a cat, or human beings, or we are animals or cows, or wherever the animals, living entities are around us. Every living entity is hankering for love. Everybody may not be able to express in language like human beings, but everybody is somehow or other expressing the love or desire to have love from others, to be loved. It's a very unique situation. You know, if you go to villages, where there is farms and families and joint families and properties, there's a large family of animals, of goats and cats and dogs, and cows and bulls and buffaloes, and so many animals are there. Sometimes monkeys and parrots and peacocks. Everybody is a part of family. Everybody comes to, you know, experience interactions and relations. They come, you feed them. They come on your lap, you can caress them. And the cows will give milk. And somebody dies in the house, the cows will cry. Yeah? They are like family members. We eat and we feed them also. And they also reciprocate accordingly. They give their life to us, we give our life to them. So ultimately, it is said that by great realized souls that happiness comes by relationships. The maximum expected happiness is from relationships. Little less by resources, you know, also is there. Natural resources is another source of happiness. But at a small extent. You don't have nowadays normal natural resources so much in the cities. But relationships, and unfortunately, because we have left the perfect situations of relationships with the Supreme Lord and His relatives and devotees in the spiritual world, in the family members of spiritual world, now the same thing we are looking here, which is in an imperfect situation, the material world, the world of Dukkhalayam. The world is how house of all Dukkha. The world which is temporary, not permanent. The world where everything is based on selfish happiness, sense gratification. What is sense gratification? Enjoying our senses. That means self-centered plan for happiness. Here everybody is mostly everybody is self-centered. And there everybody is Krishna-centered. It's exactly opposite. The perverted reflection of the spiritual world in physical reality and also in quality of emotions. Everybody is self-centered. That's why whatever you do, ultimately you get hit with the selfishness of the close one that you are living with. And you feel frustrated actually in the end. So we have done actually a big sacrifice we have done foolishly. You know, just with the desire of living independent here, I will live on my own, Swatantra, Jivan. For that particular foolish idea, we have given up a huge, big range of happiness, variety of happiness that we were actually enjoying with the Lord, which is possible to be enjoyed with the Lord. and the family members that are around the Lord. And we are one of them actually. And here, for that little independence that we want to have, we are going across, coming across, going into, dwelling into so many displeasures and so many pains and sufferings. And in the end, we come to know, okay, I'm not independent. I'm still bound by the nature, bound by my body, by my age, bound by the time, the influence of time, bound by disease, bound by old age, and bound by death. My all happiness is controlled by some higher powers, and I think I am independent, but I am actually not independent even a moment. So everything is a worst game to play, actually. Futile attempt. Useless efforts. Just to be satisfied here is a big task. Big task. I can go on telling you the way the sufferings are these days. Everybody's expectations are going high and high every day. As Kali Yuga is advancing, the needs are growing like anything. The maintenance cost is going like anything. People want, children want, we want so many things actually that are not necessary, but they have become necessities. Like for example, mobiles and the gadgets and electronics that we have. Yeah, most of them we can do without actually. But still, it is such a pressure of peers outside in the world that you are forced to have them, they get spoiled, and then you buy more and more and they get spoiled and there's no repairing. This is as far as gadgets are concerned. Because of the gadgets, what's happening is people are very far from each other. Close friends go on picnic and everybody is working on individual mobiles. And they're not interacting with each other. So they go far away traveling to be together, to spend time, and everybody is busy in the gadgets, you know. So what is happening by that? The happiness which is simply and freely available to all of us through interaction with each other is just taken away by us. We only are cause behind it. We keep the gadgets aside and the material things aside and just be together, so much happiness will be there. And the happiness will grow as we spend time together. So what is spiritual world all about? It's just being together. And one great happy news is that there are no mobiles over there. No electronic gadgets. Whatever happiness we expect to derive from these kind of things is like insignificant compared to what we expect from it. And what is available there is unbelievable. For example, I'll give a small example to you. You may feel, oh, it should rain now. And it starts raining there. You feel, oh, I want a fragrant, lotus fragrant breeze coming, which is cool and soft to my skin. It will come by the desire and arrangement of Krishna. When Sri Krishna was born, all the six seasons came together and presented their best at one time, which is not possible by any of the arrangements. We can do a little bit of artificial rains here and there. It's too costly and too hazardous to our life. But in spiritual world, unbelievable things can happen. You may want Supreme Personality of Godhead to be your baby, and he can become your baby. And you can interact with him as a baby. You can appear to be scolding to him and correcting him. You can teach him how to talk, how to walk. So many things. You can feed him, and you can put hard things in your mouth and bite them and make it soft and so very takeable by the child, and then you take out and put in the child of mouth of the child, that is Sri Krishna. So the mother was doing that. So all these unbelievable things are possible in the spiritual world when we are with Krishna. But we have given up. So tomorrow is Radhashtami. Then why are we discussing all these miseries? We must discuss these miseries because one kirtan is to chant the holy name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Chant the holy name of the Lord, chant the glories of the Lord, discuss about glories of the Lord, to serve the Lord. Even Prabhupada said typing his transcendental books was also Harinam Sankirtan. All that was kirtan. But His Holiness Devamrut Swami Maharaj had once told, even to discuss about the variety of sufferings that are there in this world is also kirtan. Because if you do it effectively, then your heart will be attracted towards Sri Krishna. Kirtan is supposed to do what ultimately? To make your heart get attracted, attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maybe we can have all this music. Stop. Put your mobiles on silent mode. And just be with Sri Krishna for a while. For that we have come all the way long distance over here, right? In the rains, in the slow trains and slower and slowest trains we have come here, far distance. Just to be with Sri Krishna, associate with the Lord, associate with His pastimes and serve Him. Oral reception. So, we to a certain extent need to know what kind of sufferings are going on in this world today. What kind of world we are living today. This kind of droughts and a famine and all those natural disasters were not known earlier. And today, people of demigod lokas, that is Svarga lokas, higher planets, are even can't accept the thought of going to material world on earthly planet. They are also material world, but earthly planet Kali Yuga is impossible for them to think that I can be there. Impossible. And beyond that, if you go to Vaikuntha, if anybody gets cursed there, they will go and take birth in the material world. They are like frustrated totally. How can we go and take birth in the material world? Jai Vijay got cursed that you will go in material world and take birth. Jai Vijay was like negotiating, you know. They were saying seven times, no sir, seven times, too much. So okay, not seven times as devotees, but three times as demons. Because time was shorter, they accepted the three times of demonic birth. What is the principle behind this negotiation? I don't want to go to material world where there is repeated birth and death taking place. There is only suffering existing there. And my dear friends, all of us are living here, by the way. We are already here. And not in Satya Yuga, we are already here in the progressive Kali Yuga, where exponentially increasing sufferings are guaranteed here. What sufferings you may have yesterday are guaranteed to increase today. And what sufferings you will have today will be increasing tomorrow 100%. And you will keep on glorifying our past. You know, when I was 10 years old, you know how things were so nice, children were so obedient, we were so obedient to our parents, we never back answer, and we, you know. We'll go to our neighbors and exchange food and they would come to our house. We go to the house. Nowadays all doors are locked. You don't even know who neighbor is, who their names are, how many children they have. Is there any old person dying in their house? We don't know anything. So like that, what's happening today, you will, 15 years later if you survive, you will tell, ki 15 years back, you know, things were so nice actually. It used to rain sometimes in between, you would say. Because, 15 years back, 20 years back, there was no water being sold. We couldn't imagine water can be sold. Is it a selling commodity? If before that, 30 years ago, you will say, is food to be sold? No, food cannot be sold. There is no hotel concept in the 50 years back. You know, food means free. Go and eat food and people will not charge you. And then the food became selling industry. Then water is now sellable. I am sure one day will come, the air will be sellable also. You will all be coming to temple with, you know, green, blue and colorful, multicolored and piggy and rabbit shaped oxygen tanks with you. Well, this is all not impossible. People are already moving in some cities in the world with oxygen tanks behind them, smaller, bigger, whatever, because air is so polluted. So what point I am trying to make is, this material world, forget love, there is so much suffering naturally here. Just by being, it's like if you go to gutter, then just by being there, there's a bad smell. Always, already there. Then you may slip and you may fall in the gutter and whatever, banana leaf. All things are additional, extra. But just by being there, the bad smell is, diseased smell is already guaranteed there. So like that, just being here, so much suffering is there. And what to speak of being loved and want to love somebody, and you love somebody and then you get ditched by that person. And you do so much for people and they do in turn so many bad things to you. I'm sure everybody of you, if you are carefully meditating, you will agree with me. That you do so much good for so many people and you finally get no reciprocation. You feel unfulfilled, you feel unsatisfied, suffering. And that is why we need to become devotees of the Lord. Because the true love only exists in serving the Lord. And when you serve the Lord, get attached to Him, chant His holy name, reorient your consciousness, then even the close ones that you have, hopefully they also will reciprocate with you in a way that you love to have that way. Think about it. Our life that we live in family is only good and only satisfying if all of us are devotees. Not that because we are devotees we are trying to say that we are great. It's not like that. We have been earlier also in non-devotional life. And we know how much envy and how much fights and how much disagreements and difference of opinion in there in one small family actually. And so much of selfishness is there, and how they were playing together as child and now they are such dreadful enemies of each other for what? For some property, some money here and there, waiting for mother to die, waiting for father to die, use up all the property, asking the doctor how long my father will live. I have seen everything, my own eyes, because hospitals are places where people are dying. I mean, sometimes they die in the hospital. And we know how the relatives are talking and what they are inquiring from you as doctors. So, this factor of being a devotee of the Lord is first of all putting you back in your original constitutional position. Being a non-devotee or not a devotee of the Lord is out of being out of your constitution. Our constitution is being eternal, being full of knowledge and being blissful, being loved and to love others. This is our propensity, our natural constitution. And we are wrongly placed, so we keep on suffering. When we come back again to the devotional life, we are coming back to our original constitution. Maybe not on the day one perfectly back, but on the journey back to our perfect constitution. And as soon as you start your journey of becoming back in your constitution, immediately you start becoming happy, even small in the beginning, but it is there with you. You can feel it. You can understand, this is what I want. I wanted all time all these experiences. And then you do more and you feel, yes, more is coming. Now I understand this is the right thing. The fish is getting back in the water now. And then you become, maybe many years you follow the devotional life, you understand actually you are becoming happy. And people also will tell you, you look so happy. Before you were looking so tensed. Whenever I would see you, you always been in tension. Thinking something which is also worrying, always worrisome. The typical feature of this material world, especially in Kali Yuga, when you go out in trains and local transports and buses and even flights and even costly transports, hung, frustrated faces are the common features that you come across. Oh, you may feel like I am traveling in a second class train, so what do I expect? You know? You go by flights, go by business class, people are so drawn out, they are so unhappy, so frustrated. Apparently they have everything what you want to have, but still they appear so frustrated. Happiness is not something hidden. If you are happy, you can make out you are happy. Others can make out you are happy. Happiness is something, such a powerful commodity that others cannot miss it if they are with you. And also sadness also is not a very hidden commodity. If you are sad, everybody will make out that you are sad. Such a contagious emotion. Sadness. And happiness is same way. People will tell you, you are so happy. Why are you so happy today? So that is the benefit of being Krishna conscious. Being a devotee. So we are discussing all this today for some time in the beginning, because Srimati Radharani is embodiment of that love that we are all looking for. That love you get from Sri Krishna, that also resourced in her. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who the reservoir of all pleasure, Anandam, Anandaghan, ocean of happiness, unlimited ocean of happiness which has no depth, no known depth and no expanse. That personality draws his happiness, his love from Srimati Radharani. Technically speaking, she is his internal potency. He has many potencies. Many potencies through which he controls this world, runs this world, manages this world, not this world, many other worlds also, many other systems of planetary systems, we call Brahmandas technically. All of them are run and controlled by his variety of energies. And these are, all energies are divided in three categories. One category of energy is internal potency. Another category of energy is external potency. And another category of energy is marginal potency. And all of us are marginal potency in between the two. Internal potency is personified by Srimati Radharani. External potency is personified by Durga Devi. And she is that lady with, you know, very powerful personality, very worshipable, very adorable personality, sitting on the lion, having trident in the hand. That is Trividh Tap. Adi Daivika, Adi Bhautika, Adi Atmika, miseries that we are suffering, that is her trident. As long as we are away from the Lord, with choice, the trident will be always in our neck and suffering constantly. When we choose to become the devotee of the Lord again, the trident starts coming out gradually, which we all want actually. And when we decide completely, now I will be a devotee of the Lord 100%, no mixture here and there, no mishra bhakti, talent comes out. Even within this life also it will come out. What does that mean? That means when the earthquake takes place, you will not suffer? No, earthquake will take place, it will not affect you. That doesn't mean that earthquake will take place in Kalyan and you are in Dadar. It doesn't mean like that. It means it will happen. All this so-called things that are happening in the material world happen to you. It'll happen to you. You'll actually physically or whatever suffer, but it'll not affect you inside. Like, so you may lose 100 rupees, and you may cry for whole day for 2 days, and somebody equal economical status will lose 100 rupees and will lament for 5 minutes and forget it. That means both of you have lost 100 rupees, but one is not suffering, another is suffering by choice. So suffering is there, but I mean pain is there, but suffering is choice, your choice. Like that, change will happen to you when the trident will be taken out. So all of us who are in marginal potency status have a choice to decide where to surrender to. You take shelter of the external energy and all sufferings will be there with you. You want to be independent, you want to enjoy sense gratification, you want to give up the law of the Lord and want to enjoy the world on your own resources, then the Maya, the external energy, Durga Devi, will capture you. Nikatastha Maya tare jhapati adhore. She will capture you and make you suffer. And when you give up all that and you want to come back to the Lord, the only way to come back to the Lord is through the internal potency. That is Radharani. And the internal potency is divided in three. Sandini, Samvit and Ladini. Sandini is eternity. Samvit is knowledge and Ladini is pleasure. Pleasure potency. The potency which gives you pleasure and pleasure to Supreme Lord also. That is Srimati Radharani. All these three together is Srimati Radharani. So about her, things are not well known like the way things are known about Sri Krishna. The reason is because the loving propensity or loving potency that Radharani holds is a very private affair, is a very confidential affair. And when it is confidential, means it is most likely to be misunderstood. That is why it is kept concealed. Like you don't tell your small children how one begets children. I mean, it's open science available in all medical books, but children are not told about it. When they get marriageable age, then they may get health education, marriage education, that time they may come to know how one begets children. Similarly, this is a worldly example I am giving you. Similarly, on the higher plane, higher understanding, a spiritual platform, the loving relationships between us and the Lord, and the loving relations that be shared by the pure devotees of the Lord with the Lord, are very confidential affairs. Because very unbelievable things happen when this loving relationship get established. So right in the beginning of somebody who's in the jail, you cannot describe about everything that happens in the normal life in city. First thing for him to get out of the jail, and some attractive things are shown in the jail, that you please come out now, enough of suffering inside the jail. But then after you come out of jail, you get released, then you may own your house, you may own a car, you go to a natural forest and you have nice flowers, flower garden and so many things, and all these things will gradually reveal to you. Similarly, the topic of Srimati Radharani is not discussed in public also, one, number one, and not even if discussed at great length and great depth. Because in the conditioned state of our life, the topic of Radharani can be misunderstood very well. That is why we discuss about Radharani on some basic tattva or basic principles, and not go in depth of relationship between Radha and Krishna. That is not topics for all of us. Those topics are meant for those pure realized souls who are filled in love with Radha and Krishna, for Radha and Krishna, or who have dedicated a life in service to Radha and Krishna. For them, like Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami and other Goswamis, for them these topics are supposed to be there. But nonetheless, it is important to know who is Radharani, and it is important to know at least what is her role in our lives. How is she connected, at least on superficial level, or at least on basic level, how are we all connected to her? That we should know. And that is why we are today discussing about how to prepare our consciousness for Radha Ashtami. First, I told you she is internal potency, and all that you feel is love, and all that you want in future, all that kind of different varieties of love, it all comes from her. Secondly, all that you think that is devotion, you can say devotional proclivity, devotional tendency, devotional attitude, whatever you say by different terminologies, all that is devotional attitude, proclivity, desire, everything comes from her. All that we think that I am a devotee of the Lord and I have devotion. All of us may feel we have devotion. All that devotion comes from her. It's her gift. She is the reservoir of all the devotion, the source of all devotion. So when we make progress in bhakti, we should actually come to this humble platform that the devotion that I have is not mine, is given by her as gift, as mercy, as compassion towards us. And we should be grateful for that. Because only by her mercy and her kindness and by her compassion, you and me can think of getting devotion to Krishna. If we get, it is very good. But even thinking that I will get is only by her desire and mercy. So we should be always grateful to her. That even I don't know you as much as I should be, but I know one thing, that all the devotion that I think I have is by your mercy only. Srimati Radharani ki jai ho. So, this personality called Radharani is very, very, very merciful. Extremely merciful, extremely kind. Sri Krishna is very unique personality. Sri Krishna is very shrewd lover. Why we say shrewd lover? He's a great lover actually. He's a great, great lover. But he has one condition, that he wants you to be exclusively loving him. You cannot have, you know, God and mammoth together. You need to give up all so-called loves that you think you have and love him exclusively. Then he may look at you. Till that time, he said, okay, you continue your work. I am looking at you. But he will not offer himself to you. What does it say in Bhagavad Gita? Yam sarva dharmam parityajyam mamekam sharanam vaja. And then what he says, okay, after you give up all your so-called dharmas, duties, you may think, oh, then I will get love. I will get bhakti. No, he said, no, I will only release you of all your sinful reactions. Sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami. I will release you of your sinful reactions. So it's very conditional kind of reciprocation. I mean, he's worthy of that, but he is that kind of personality. But Radharani is not like that. Radharani is unconditional in giving her love and affection and compassion to all of us. She will not distinguish. Whoever has little desire towards her master, her lover, she immediately gives her mercy. She will not say, Sarva dharmam parityajam. Sri Krishna will say. And even then, there is no guarantee of love. But Radharani will do that. That's why the feminine aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is extremely, very, very important for us. It's like, mother is very important for us. Father is discipline. Mother is love, right? Both are required to grow in life. But happiness is there more with mother. Is that right? All of us understand that. All of us were children one day. Now we have our wives as our mothers of our children. We know where is the affection. What language they pick up? Matru bhasha. Why? Because matrutva, vatsalya, motherhood, extremely important for the development of a person. So she is the ultimate mother. In other biblical languages, maybe you can say universal mother, the terminology is there. And in the pranic healing, there is one personality called universal mother. We have to pray to her and then pranic healing takes place. Only devotional service people, bhakti people know who is the universal mother is. None other than Radharani. And because of her vatsalya kind of love that she has for all of us, we may not be connected to her, we may not know her, we have forgotten about her, but she looks at all of us as her children actually. And that is why she is waiting when to give devotion. When I can give devotion and get my child back. Why is he suffering so much independently? And that is Radharani. Her love is so much that for Sri Krishna and his devotees, when Sri Krishna decided to come down, when Mother Earth came as a cow and she brought Brahma and demigods and they all went to Shirsagar, from there they went to Goloka. At that time Sri Krishna declared, I am coming, I will come down, don't worry, I will destroy all the demons and relieve you of your miseries, of your bhar, of your pain. Radharani fainted there. Krishna was surprised. Why you fainted? Why you fainted? When she was revived, he asked her. He said, I was thinking that you leave me and go away. He said, how can I leave you and go away? I am taking you with you. But she said, I am not going to come because wherever there is no Vrindavan, no Jamuna, no Govardhan, I don't go there. He said, knowing your heart, I have already, when I made a plan to go, I already sent some portion of Sri Golok Dham along with Govardhan and Jamuna. Vrindavan in portion, but Govardhan and Jamuna in full. I already sent down on Mother Earth. But then she said that, I will not like to see anything and talk anything or hear anything except you till I see you. So this is her devotion and love for Sri Krishna. She loves everybody. At the same time, she cannot live out of Vrindavan. She cannot live without Jamuna and Govardhan. So then, eventually Sri Krishna explained to all the demigods and all who have come from down and everybody who is there, he divided the duties, you go here, you do that, you become these Vrishni Vamshis, you become Yadavas, you become Kurus, position yourself, I'll appear in the end and I will do the needful. And Sri Krishna comes. So, when Sri Krishna comes, then Radharani also comes. The story goes like this, that historically, whatever we can discuss, we must discuss. There were three Mahasatis. They were daughters of Pitaras from Pitruloka. You know? Pitaras are very powerful people that way. There were three main Mahasatis. And they went to Vaikuntha to see the Lord. And then what happened? When they went to see the Lord, they saw the four Kumaras there, who were maybe millions and trillions of year old sages, but in the form of 4-year-old babies who were naked. So they didn't feel so inspired, or they may be very busy to see, eager to see the Lord of Vaikuntha. They didn't offer the four Kumaras their obeisances, their respects. And they just wanted to go inside. So the four babies cursed them. They said that you will take birth in the material world. So they were like shocked. Why? So then when they were puzzled why this happened, Vishnu came out of his palace where this event was taking. And they said, no, don't worry, this is not a curse, this is my plan. Eventually I want you to become mothers of the great Mahasatis that would appear on earth. So these three Mahasatis, mothers of the Mahasatis, they became pacified. And they took birth in the material world. One of them married, one of them was Menaka, and she was given to Himalaya in marriage. Second one was Ratnavali, and she was given to Ratnavali was given to the Sita's father. Janak Maharaj. And then third one was Kalavati, and she married Suchandra. And Suchandra happened to be, in the worldly sense, the son of King Nanga. And he was as powerful as any incarnation of the Lord. And Suchandra and Kalavati got married. As soon as they got married, they performed celestial 12 years of tapasya. And looking at their wonderful devotional tapasya, Brahmadev appeared. And Brahmadev said, I want to bless you. Please ask me what blessings you want. So Suchandra said that, I want to attain moksha. So Brahmaji said, Tathastu, you will get moksha because you are perfectly fit candidate for moksha. But Kalavati was angry. Kalavati said, how can you bless my husband to get moksha? What will happen to me? How will I live? I don't want to live as a widow. She expressed her anger. And Brahma also was scared because Brahma knew her potency as Mahasati. So he was also getting scared that she will curse him back for giving something to his husband, her husband, that she would not like to have for her husband. She wanted to be with her husband. So Brahma said, no, don't worry. This moksha will come in the end. Till the time, you all will stay in my Brahma Loka. This is Satya Yuga. It will take some time and Lord will appear in the end of Dwapar Yuga, in Vaivasvata Manu's reign. And that time, you will come back again on the earth and take birth, and you will be the mother of the internal potency of the Lord, the supreme consort of the Lord, Srimati Radharani, will become your child. That's how the benediction was given. And then all that time passed in Brahmaloka, and then end of Dwapar Yuga came. And another long story is there, when that Devi went in the sky and told, oh foolish Kamsa, the killer of your already is born in somewhere else and you are unnecessarily harassing your sister. There is one additional statement which is not given in Bhagavatam, which is given in other places, what the Devi said. She said, not only your killer, but a great Devi also is born. And the great Devi, whoever she marries with, listen very carefully, whoever she marries with will be able to defeat Lord Shiva also. Oh, Kamsa became, first of all, he became repentful and all that drama took place and he fell down at Devaki's feet and a lot of philosophy spoke and somehow they were also very kind and forgiving to him. But this was struck to him that one more Devi is born. I must find that girl and I will have to marry her because I want to also become, Lord Shiva is the person whom he worshipped and gave lot of benediction he received from Lord Shiva. But the desire to conquer, desire to become master, desire to become more and more masterly controller is still there. He said, if at all easily if I can get married with this girl, then I will become the conqueror of Lord Shiva also. So he sent Putana. So Putana, what she was doing, she was killing people and she also flew and came to the place where this girl was born. How this girl was born? Because Himalaya, personified Himalaya, got married with Menaka and they begot Parvati. And Parvati is Annapurna, so powerful. Himalaya was flourishing like anything because Parvati became his daughter. So Vindhya not actually felt jealous, but she felt ki, I also must have such a wonderful daughter like Parvati. So he worshipped Lord Brahma and Lord Brahma also blessed him with a daughter. Not one daughter, two daughters actually. Some say 2 + 8, 10 daughters. But I'm not very sure about it. But two were definitely. So Putana came, and when these babies were, they were born and they were already there, Bindya was performing some yajna, Putana came and picked up these two girls, newborn babies, and just flew away. So Bindya got surprised. How, after long tapasya, I was blessed with these two beautiful girls, was so auspicious. Now I see that this demoness took her away. She's flying in the sky. So he sat for meditation. He called Brahmanas and said, do something to stop her. So they did something, some process, yogic process, that Putana started burning in the sky there. Not actually with flames, but she felt so much heat. She was suffering so much that she dropped these girls. She just couldn't hold. She dropped one before and dropped second one. It is said the one first that she dropped fell in Vidarbha. And Bhishmaka, the future father of Rukmini, picked her up and raised her for 5 years. And later on, Purnamasi came, who is the incarnation of Durga Devi in Braj Leela. She took the baby and gave it to Chandrabhanu, and she became Chandravali. And the second one also fell down somewhere near Braj. Now we stop this akhyan here, and then we go see what's happening here. What's happening here is Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and Vrishabhanu, Mataji and Kirtita Devi. Suchandra became Vrishabhanu in Raghu Vamsha. Huh? Raghu Vamsha is Surya Vamsha, the dynasty of the sun, where Lord Ramchandra appeared. Before that Raghu appeared. Before that Dilip, Sagar, everybody was there in that. So, Vrishabhanu Maharaj took birth as son of Mahibhanu, who was son of Kanjabhanu before. And then Kalavati Devi took birth in Mukharai village, married Indusen Gopa, Indusen Maharaj, Indusen and Mukharai got married, and they gave birth to Kalavati. And then Kalavati was married to Vrishabhanu Maharaj. She was Kirtida actually. Her this name of this world was, in this life was Kirtida, and she was married to Vrishabhanu Maharaj by the great intelligent, loving efforts of Nanda Maharaj. Because Nanda and Vrishabhanu were very good friends. So, now Vrishabhanu is married to Kirtida. Nanda Maharaj is married to Yashoda Maharani from Meherano. And both of them are living together happily in Braj. But somehow they don't have children. So, they are wondering what to do. They are getting aged. So, they decided out of friendship and discussion that we will go to the bank of Jamuna. Jamuna is very, very auspicious. Maybe by the residence at the banks of Jamuna, we will get a child. In the course of time, you know the full story, how 6 children of Devaki were killed by Kamsa, then Balram was born to Rohini, and then Sri Krishna was born on the Ashtami day of the waning moon. And then, after that, this supposedly little less than 1 year, supposedly little less than 1 year girl was dropped in Braj area. Because Nanda Maharaj shifted from Nandagaon to Gokul, also the bank of Jamuna. Vrishabhanu Maharaj shifted from Barsana to Rawal, also at the bank of Jamuna. Jamuna would flow from both this, and they established their kingdoms. And then every day Vrishabhanu Maharaj would go to take bath in the morning, early morning before sunrise, take bath in his own pond in Jamuna. So that day when he went, which was the day? Bhadrapad month, full moon paksha, Shuddha paksha, and Ashtami day, Arunoday Bela, Vishakha Nakshatra, and Monday. This year, Radhashtami is also on Monday. Please note, she was born on Monday. In some other kalpas, she was born on Thursday also. But the most described story of her birth tells that she was born on Monday, as per Garga Sanhita. So, on this auspicious day, when he went to take bath in the river, in his own pond in the river, private pond of a king, he saw a golden effulgence coming from river, which you would not see at the time generally he would go to take bath. So, he went closer, then he realized that this golden effulgence, which is enlightening, I mean, lighting every atmosphere around, every atom of the atmosphere, which is much earlier than sunrise, is coming from a maybe millions of petals which one that had a lotus flower. A lotus flower which had millions of petals. The effulgence was coming from that. Then he went little closer at that, he understood that the effulgence is not coming from lotus flower also. It is coming from a body of a beautiful baby, very delicate, attractive baby, which is in the lotus flower. So from distance appears that the whole river is fully with light, then lotus flower, then the baby inside, which is giving light to all the existence. So I was very much bewildered actually to see this. At the same time, there was Akashvani. Lord Brahma spoke that you were Suchandra, your wife is Kalavati in the past, and you had done 12 years of celestial time tapasya, and I had blessed you that you will become mother of the internal potency, the supreme consort, loving consort of the supreme personality of Godhead, Srimati Radharani. Now she is in here in front of you. Please take her and raise her as your child. So very happily he picked her up and took her home. And that's how Radharani was born in this material world. But amazing thing was that she was not opening her eyes. That means blind. I mean, you get a beautiful child which has got very delicate Krishangi, very beautiful, delicate limbs and all effulgent. And, you know, you cannot describe the beauty. Every particle of Radharani's body was so attractive. Golden effulgence was emanating from the body. Such lotus-like beautiful eyes, but closed. And she was not crying, not appearing to hear anything, whatever was sounded to her. Maybe mothers are always calling the baby with whatever nicknames. No response was there. No sound from mouth. That means blind, deaf and dumb. So whether to celebrate her appearance or not, they were so happy. Huh? As soon as the effulgence was seen, that time only he was becoming so happy actually. Unusually happy, unexplainably happy. But then, how to celebrate this birth of a blind and deaf and dumb child? So they were just wondering. And here Narad Muni, the supreme spaceman, you know, who has freedom to go everywhere, right from Golok to the most heinous atmosphere in this material world, for the kindness and for the compassion to the living entities. He knew that all that happened with Brahma and Earth, Mother Earth, went to everything, all history he knew. He also was part of the whole story. So he knew that Radharani will take birth. He knew that Krishna will take birth, Balaram will take birth. And he had gone and visited already. But he had put calculation by his understanding of whatever astronomy, astrology. And he came straight to the Vrishabhanu Mahal, the palace of Vrishabhanu Maharaj. And he asked, is there any baby girl born here? So they were like puzzled. They thought ki we should not tell this inauspicious thing to him, that hey, there's a baby but it's blind, deaf and dumb. You know, it's like very embarrassing. So they said, no, we have only one son. So they presented Sridhama, the elder son of Vrishabhanu Maharaj and Kirtita. We have only son. So Narada Muni was puzzled, how my calculation can go wrong? So he was thinking, what must have gone wrong? So in that puzzled mind, he left. And then the sakhis and the associates and the servants, they gathered and they said, hey, you know, these rishis are very powerful. With their blessings, what cannot happen? Anything can happen. This is a very ordinary thing, that blind and deaf and dumb child, you have blessings of sadhu, then all these things will change. Just tell the truth. So immediately they sent sakhis to call Narad Muni. Narad Muni was called again. Yes, there is a baby girl born. Narad Muni came running. Then they took him inside and they showed the cradle in which Radharani, baby Radharani was. Now why they are so eager? Because in spiritual world, Sri Krishna, Balaram and Radharani are always of 16-year-old youth form. Always Kishoravastha. Fully grown up as youth. And baby Darshan is only in the material world. Sri Krishna also, Balaram also and Radharani also. So all demigods come in disguise always to see their baby form, which is only available for Darshan in the material world, full of birth and death. There's one good thing, out of many good things, that the Lord's Bala Darshan is there in the material world only. So that's why he was eager to see the baby form of Radharani. And he immediately offered dandavats. And he just said, you should celebrate. But they said, she is blind, deaf and dumb. How to do all these things? How to handle this situation? He said, don't worry. Everything will be alright. You just go and start preparing. Get auspicious things. He gave a list of them. things that you get, all those things, I'll do some rituals of purification. So they just ran away with the list that he gave. He wanted to be alone with her. So as soon as everybody went and Radharani was alone with Narad Muni, she appeared to him in 16-year-old youth form with Lalita and Vishakha. At some place it is said, alone she came. At some place it is said, Lalita Vishakha also appeared with her. Narad Muni became ecstatic. Tears of love fell from his eyes. And they came back immediately. Radharani became baby. So Radharani said that, Narad Muni said that, I want to see your Ashtasakhi Darshan, all Ashtasakhis. So she said, you go to Kusum Sarovar. And there he was awarded, you know, in beautiful lotus flowers, all Sakhis were standing. He went there, he became Naradiya Gopi by the mercy of Madhavi Gopi and Vrinda Devi, who gave him bath in the southern corner of Kusum Sarovar. And then he was taken inside and he saw Darshan of Radha and Krishna and all Ashtasakhis together. Anyway, this is the Akhyana. So here what happened, by the order of Narad Muni, they decided a celebration. And then Narad Muni, by the mercy of Narad Muni, the celebration went on with full enthusiasm. It is said that just without any arrangements of Vrishabhanu Maharaj, the whole atmosphere becomes surcharged with happiness. All the rivers, water reservoirs become clean, all the skies became clean, the stars were shining, demigods were showering flowers, birds were chirping beautiful sounds at the time of birth of Radharani. And at the background, all this happening, happiness is being spread everywhere. And suddenly the poorest person became very rich. His house became filled with dhan. And the hungriest person, his house was filled with food, like halwa pudi and very panchapakwana. All of one of his own. Because the person who is born is Radharani, who is the source of Lakshmi Devi, Parvati, Annapurna, everybody. So all the features of Lakshmi Devi wealth, all the features of Annapurna, the food and all the other opulences are already manifest by her appearance. And then Vrishabhanu Maharaj was like so happy. Lakhs and lakhs of cows he was donating, decorated with gold and ankle bells and what not, all these silken cloth over them with the tails decorated with peacock feathers and yellow color. Lakhs and lakhs of them were distributing. Mountains of grains he was distributing. And because Vrishabhanu Maharaj was very, very rich, he had many treasuries. Rubies, diamonds, gold and pearls and you name it. All kinds of variety of jewels. He had treasuries of them. So he opened one and distributed them to all the sadhus. Like for example, gold he distributed. And the gold was being carried to sadhus and they were discussing, wow, today is such a great day. And they heard, now he has opened the treasury of pearl. So they dropped the gold and they ran back. And the pearls were distributed to sadhus. And everybody else, Brahmins also. And they were going away and they heard, now rubies are opened. So they dropped the pearls and they went and ran and took rubies. And like that, rubies and emeralds and sapphires and all blue, red, green, all kinds of jewels were distributed by Maharaj Vrishabhanu. And it is said the whole Brajbhumi, especially Barsana and then whole Brajbhumi, was filled with all these jewels everywhere on the ground. There's so much of abundance of wealth. Unbelievably expanding by the power of Radharani. And still the godowns were filled. They didn't get emptied. They were just being distributed. And there was so much abundance that sadhus were dropping the wealth down and going and taking the next wealth. Imagine. That was a situation. And then all the great demigoddesses and demigods, they disguised themselves. Like Uma Devi, Parvati Devi, you know, they became, somebody became flower sellers, somebody became itra sellers, somebody became sweepers, somebody became some ordinary thing, flower garland sellers, like that. And they all appeared in Barsana and Raval and visited the baby Radharani and gave gifts from their lokas to Radharani. And you know, embraced Mother Kirtida and the demigods embraced Vishwabhanu Maharaj. And they were wondering, we don't know these people. We never seen them in Raval. And how, but how can you say, who are you? Who invited you? It was such a happy festival of Radharani's birth. And while all these great things were happening, whole Barsana, whole Raval was filled with people. Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj also came with baby Krishna and Balaram. And when everybody was, when they came, Yashoda met Kirtida and they were exchanging love and affection and gifts. Nanda Maharaj was meeting Vrishabhanu. Of course, they were neighbors close by and they were embracing and congratulating. In the meantime, Krishna crawled to the inner chambers where Radharani was in the cradle. And there are a variety of descriptions. As soon as Krishna entered that room, Radharani just made killol and she just cried and opened her eyes. Why? Because Supreme Personality of Godhead and also His associates, close ones, they have a divine fragrance on their body. When Sri Krishna's fragrance entered the nostrils of Radharani, she immediately understood, my beloved has come. So she opened her eyes and she made loving, beautiful, she didn't cry actually. It's called killol. Killol means very loving, beautiful, happy sound she made. And as soon as that sound they heard, they all came running in the inner chambers because they were longing and waiting to hear this beautiful sound, which they were not hearing for such a long time. So Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, Kirtida Maharani, Vishwabhanu Maharaj all entered and they saw Radharani beautifully smiling, and then they saw that Sri Krishna has already climbed the cradle and already touching her eyes and face and body parts, you know. And Radharani was so happy and blissful to be with her beloved. This is her one pointed focus and commitment to her beloved. This is how one should love in life. So committed that she didn't open eyes, hear anything, nothing except things connected with Krishna. That means she wanted to see Krishna, she wanted to hear Krishna, she wanted to be touched by Krishna. Then only she would express herself or open herself. Till that time she is closed. So this is Radharani. That's why I said she is the emblem of love and devotion. All that love and devotion that we think we have comes from her only. So this is in short the celebration of Radharani's birth. She was born on Ashtami day in Bhadrapad month. Very auspicious day, because on this day everybody experienced that inner joy which is natural to the living entity. Just by Sri Krishna's appearance, the fearful sadhus became fearless and ran to the yajnashala in the middle of the night and started performing yajnas in the middle of the night. Similarly, all these living entities in the material world were existing there, devotees, non-devotees, whatever, they experience a great spiritual joy within, because she is a soul and she has appeared in the world, so it is affecting everybody. One unique thing happened on this day, that Mukhara Devi, who was mother of Kirtida, was also worried that my daughter has not having any children for a long time. She must be so old. Kirtida and Vishwanu Mara also were old. So imagine grandmother Mukharai, how old she must be. And she got the news. Where is Mukhara village? Mukhara Devi and Indusen are staying in Mukhara village. That is near Govardhan, 1 kilometer from Radhakund, from geographical understanding. So we can say from today, it is about 20 kilometers from Rawal, from Gokul. Maybe 45 kilometers today. This Gokul, Rawal, Ramandriti all come in southern side of the Brajbhumi. And then come Mathura, and then comes Radhakund, Govardhan afterwards. So around 45 kilometers from today's calculation. So there she got a news that my daughter finally got a daughter. So she was so happy, you know, so happy. She didn't know what to do, how to express happiness. So she just saw wheels of bullock carts on the ground. And she picked one up and she started revolving that as a big wheel like this. She started revolving. I don't know from where all the strength came in her. But you know, happiness is something that you can do. If you are happy, you can do unbelievable things. Even from physical point of view also. If somebody becomes happy, like when Bharat called Shakuntala, it seems she ran in the middle of the jungle. Then everybody wondered how she got the strength and courage to go in the middle of jungle filled with, you know, animals who are wild. So she was so much enamored by the loving sentiment for Bharat. That means one can do unbelievable things if you are enamored by love. So she was so happy, she had revolving the wheel, and then everybody bought lamps and she put lamps on the spokes of the wheel, and with burning lamps on the spokes of the wheel she started revolving them. And looking at her enjoyment and her new way of expressing her joy, even other ladies picked up their wheels separated from the bullock cart, put up lamps on that and started wheeling. And you can see the whole village ladies were revolving this unique lamp wheel all over. And that is called as Charakula Nutya. Huh? Charakula means chakra. The dance of the chakra of the bullock cart. Even today in Braj Bhumi, this Charakula dance is very famous. And on the day of Radhashtami in Mukharai village, this dance takes place as an expression of celebration of Radharani's birth. Radha Janma Badhai. While it is being sung, these all ladies pick up. And then also there is a competition in Braj Bhumi about this beautiful dance that takes place. Then later on, Garga Muni appeared, and Garga Muni went and did secret Namakaran for Krishna Balaram in Goshala, in Gokul. And from there straight he came to Vishwanu Maharaj. And I will tell you, in short, a beautiful story that Vishwanu Maharaj received him. At that time, Garga Muni explains that he was looking like Indra, because he was holding Chhatra over him. He was looking like Dharmaraj, holding danda as royal insignia. He was shining like sun, in all directions were lit by his effulgence. Vishwanu Maharaj welcomed Gargacharya, did his puja, padya, parikrama, worshipped him, made him sit on the singhasana of his own, and he said, "Please tell me, who is the best husband for my daughter?" First question. All the fathers who have daughters, the only one worry is there. How will I get her married? So Vrishabhanu Maharaj said, at that time Garga Muni took Vrishabhanu Maharaj away from the assembly, held his hand and took him away in the groves of Rawal at the bank of Jamuna, and told her, "Akhila Brahmandapati, the owner of Golok Vrindavan, Golok Dhameshwar, the most perfect supreme personality of Godhead had appeared in the house of Nanda." Vrishabhanu Maharaj, being close friend to Nanda, he said, "He is so fortunate, my friend. His fortune is indescribable." So Garga Muni said, "To reduce the burden of earth by killing demons like Kamsa, the Supreme Lord has appeared. And you should know that his dearmost consort, Srimati Radharani, has taken birth in your house. The baby that is there in your house is Srimati Radharani. And there is nobody else but Sri Krishna is the perfect husband for your daughter." So Vrishabhanu became totally ecstatic, out of control, so much in ecstasy. Immediately went and told his wife the information. "I'm so grateful, oh Garga Muni, that you told me this information. I will marry my daughter only by you as a Purohit." So Garga Muni said, "No, I'm not the one to get this wedding done as a Purohit, but Lord Brahma himself will come down at one opportune time when they are small babies only. The time he will come, and in Bhandirvan he will become Purohit and get them married." Then he told that whose darshan is impossible for any devata after performing millions of lifetimes of yagyas and austerities, that Radha is residing in your house as baby. And all these gopas and gopis are very, very fortunate and very elevated souls who are able to take her darshan every moment of their life when they are here. They are much, much higher than all the demigods who are residing here controlling the universes. And thus Vrishabhanu and Kirti Maharani were extremely happy, and they asked Vrishabhanu Maharaj, the Garga Muni, "Please define the meaning of word Radha." The Garga Muni said, "Once I had gone to Kandamadana mountain with all my disciples, and there appeared Lord Narayan, the owner of Vaikuntha. And Lord Narayan himself explained the essence of Samaveda, and in that description I heard the meaning of word Radha. Oh my dear devotees, please listen carefully. The meaning of word Radha. Ra means Rama, that is Shri, wealth, Rama Devi. A, that is all the gopis, that means they exhibit the principle of Leela, pastimes. Dha means Dhara Devi, that is Bhu Devi, earth, mother earth. And the next A is Viraja Devi. Viraja Devi is Viraja River, the most powerful, resplendent, beautiful river at the border of material and spiritual worlds. Very merciful river. She is also a gopi at the same time. So the ultimate effulgence of Krishna was manifested in the form of these four forms: Shri, Leela, Bhu and Viraja. And these four wives of Sri Krishna, of course they are wives of Krishna, they merged in Radharani. They merged first. They are wives of Krishna. They went to divine Kunja and merged in Sri Radhika. That is why all the learned men call her as Paripurnatama, the most perfect lady in the whole creation of Sri Krishna. One who chants Radha Krishna repeatedly, what to speak of achieving four Purusharthas, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. One attains the divine love for Supreme Personality of Godhead and attains Him also at the same time. Prema Bhakti for Him and Him also. Just by repeatedly uttering the names of Radha and Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. By uttering Ra, Ra, all the millions of lifetimes of sinful activities are destroyed. One gets freedom from disease and death, and one prevents Garbhavas, entering into the womb of a mother. That is prevented. And by uttering Dha, one gets Bhavavandan Mukti. That means freedom from the repeated cycles of birth and death. Krishna says, it is again explained by Gargamuni, Ra Shabdam Kurvatastro Dadami Bhakti Muttama Dha Shabdam Kurvataha Paschadyami Shravana Lobataha. I offer Uttam Bhakti to that person who chants Ra. And when I hear Dha, I get mesmerized and start following that person who is chanting the name of Radha. One, the personality who is very difficult to be attracted to anything, who doesn't respond to common efforts of tapasya and austerities and yajnas, that personality, when you utter the word Radha, gets mesmerized and starts running and following you. Another verse Sri Krishna says, Ra Shabda Uchcharena Deva Spito Bhavati Madhava. Sri Krishna gets mesmerized with loving sentiments. And Dha Shabda Uchcharanat Paschad Dhavat Yaiva Sa Sambramaha. He becomes somehow kind of bewildered and runs behind that person. And this Radha Nam is constant meditation of Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna also performs sadhana. And his sadhana is to chant this Dvay Akshari Mantra, Radha. Concentrating fully on the two lotus feet of Radharani, he meditates on these two words Radha at the beautiful groves of at the banks of Jamuna river. Kalindi Tatakunja Mandira Gato Yogindra Vandyata. Yogindra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vandyata, he worships in the beautiful temple Mandir, Kunja Mandir at Kalindi, bank of Kalindi. Padat Jyotir Dhyana Parah. On the effulgence of the two lotus feet of Radharani, he does meditation. Sada Japati Yam, he chants the holy name of Radharani. Premashru Purno Harihi, with the tears of love in his eyes. Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, chants the holy name of Radharani. Kenapi Adbhutam Ullasadra Atirasa Nandena Sammohita. He becomes bewildered. He doesn't understand what's happening to him when he chants the holy name. He completely loses himself, his composure, when he chants the holy name of Radharani. Sa Radheti Sadha Spuroti Me Vidyapara Dvayakshara. I meditated on this Radharani. This is given in Radha Sudhanidhi by Prabhudanand Saraswati. So, even past time, very short, I will tell you. When Sri Krishna left Ras Lila, at that time Radharani and Gopis were searching him. And Sri Krishna went under the tree of Imli, tamarind tree at the bank of Jamuna, and sat in meditation. And he was doing exactly what we just explained. An amazing thing happened. The bluish Ghanashyam Sri Krishna became golden color. And he was experiencing such ecstatic love and bliss. And by that time, Radharani and Gopis came searching him. And they were wondering, who is this person? We have not seen such person. But looks like we have seen him. He has peacock feather, he has yellow dhoti, and looks like Krishna only, but he is golden in color. So then Radharani went and touched him. It's a beautiful story, I'll tell you in short. And as soon as she touched him, he again regained his dark color Ghanshyam form. And she asked him, what is this secret? What happened to you today? He said, when I was away from you, I was remembering you, chanting your name, and this is what happened to me. And I experienced such ecstatic love in this situation that I have decided now, in my next incarnation, I will come with accepting your bhav and I will experience your love for me. The glory of your love I want to understand in full depth and full vistar. So I will take a separate incarnation accepting your bhav to understand the glory of your love. But I still don't understand, because when I see you serving me, I see you enjoying more than me. Well, I am intended to be served by you, but you appear to be enjoying more. That also I want to understand, because I know the love that you have for me is giving you unlimited bliss that even I even don't know. So I have decided I will come back again separately to enjoy this love. So at this moment of time, we will sing the bhajan. Put it on. So, and that promise that Sri Krishna made to Radharani was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's incarnation. Before they put up, I'll tell you another story also. That when Radharani went and washed her hands in the kund became yellow. That is in Barsana. After they returned from Rawal at one point of time, discussing among themselves that it's too much atrocities Kamsa is causing. This across Yamuna, Mathura is there. He sends demons, it's so easy for him. And we are getting troubled every day. Let us move back to our original place, because now we have achieved our target of getting children. We have got Radharani, we got Krishna Balaram. So they all shifted. And then one time Radharani was applied yellow turmeric powder in the mood of Vagnishchay, in the mood of engagement. And then she became very embarrassed, and she came home in Barsana, asked Sakhis, and she washed her hands. And that kund became yellow. It's called as Pili Pokhar. After this event happened, few days later, Sri Krishna came to Pili Pokhar and he saw that kunda before was clear water, now it is yellow color. So he started asking himself, Swagat, what is the yellow substance? What is the yellow substance? What is the meaning of this yellow substance? And he was uttering these words himself, and this word was resounding in the atmosphere, and he was entering also in the water. And he entered the water, and finally his two raised hands and his peacock feather were only things seen on the surface of the water. You can imagine, two hands like this, and in between one peacock feather, moving around all the pond, and only one sound is resounding in the whole atmosphere. What is the yellow substance? Can you repeat, everybody? What is the yellow substance? All resounding. And then again he came out of the water. And then what happened? He had become completely yellow. He had lost his dark color. And still he was saying, what is the yellow substance? He was still, while experiencing the experience of becoming again golden yellow, he was still wondering and asking, what is the yellow substance? Anybody knows the answer? What is the yellow substance? It is the love and devotion of Radharani for Krishna, which Sri Krishna is enjoying. So His Holiness Barsana Maharaj tells us that this is the first time Sri Krishna indicated that he is going to come. This pastime of Imlitala took place later on, when he was doing Rasdila at the age of 7 in Vrindavan area, near Bansiwat. But this was like they were very, very small babies. And that time Sri Krishna, by resounding, all the Brijvasis came up Barsana, and they were thinking, what has happened to our baby Krishna? Why is he looking yellow? And he is asking a bewildering question, and everybody looking at each other. But they are also experiencing great joy seeing Krishna yellow in golden in color. So our great devotee of the Lord, great sadhu, Goswami ji, kind of a Goswami, renounced great devotee of the Lord, Vasudev Ghosh, he has written this beautiful bhajan. How Radharani's appearance, Radharani's being in this world, Radharani's pastimes and time that is spent in Braj Bhumi is so much important for us to understand that Gaurang Mahaprabhu is connected with her actually. We'll first sing this song. Everybody will. Maybe, can I have a paper? Maybe I'll see here and sing. Mridang Kartal is there? Somebody can play? You are playing?
Yadi Gaur na hoi to, tabe ki hoi to, কেমন ধরিতাম দে রাধার মহিমা প্রেম রস সীমা জগত জানাত কে
Yeah.
Next.
Madhur Vrinda Vipin Madhuri Pravesh Chaturi Saru. Pravesh Paturi Sa Braja Yuvati Bhavera Bhakati Shakati Hoi Toka. Jadi Gaur Na Hoi To तबे की होई तो कैमोन धरी ताम दे गाओ गाओ पुना गौरांगे रघुना सरल कोरी अमा ए भव सागरे ए मन दयाल ना देखिए एक जान ए भव सागरे ए मन दयाल ना देखिया एक जान
थैंक यू
यदि गौर न होई तो तबे की होई तो कैमोन धरी ताम दे आमी गौरांगा बोलिया नागे नु गोलिया के मोने धरुनु दे धरुनु दे वासुर हिया पाषाण दिया के मोने गोड़िया छे जदि गौर न होई तो तबे की होई तो के मोने धरी ताम दे राधार महिमा प्रेम रस सीमा जगत जाना तो के यदि गौर न होई तो
Thank you very much. The meaning is like this. If Lord Gauranga had not appeared as Yugavatar in this age of Kali, then what would have become of us? How could we have tolerated living? Who in this universe would have ever learned about the topmost limits of loving mellows that comprise of the glory of Sri Radharani? Who would have had the power to render ecstatic devotional service that follows in the footsteps of the damsels of Braja? Indeed, the clever expertise of the Braja gopis is a prerequisite for entering the supremely sweet forest of Vrinda Devi. Oh, please sing again and again the glorious qualities of Lord Gauranga. Just try to keep your heart simple. Not even one person within this ocean of nations has ever seen such a magnanimous personality as he, Lord Gauranga. Even though I chant the holy name of the Lord, Gauranga, somehow I still have not melted. I have not melted in ecstasy. How then have I maintained the burden of this body? How has the Creator fashioned this body with a stone in the place of Vasudev Ghosh's heart? So Vasudev Ghosh Mahashoy ki jai. So we can see Sri Gauranga is that personality who is Krishna himself with Radha Bhav in him, who has accepted the essence of the principal existence of Radharani, that is love, that is compassion, that is kindness, that is mercy, shelter, all these wonderful things that we need in life. Radharani's lotus footprint, if you see, one of the many signs is a mansion, and that denotes shelter. She is Ashray Vigraha. She is the personality who gives shelter. And when she gives shelter, then Krishna gives shelter. When she recommends, Sri Krishna gives. If you go on your own, attempt on your own, you may not get any response. Because you know, I told you in the beginning, he is a very shrewd lover. That personality, as Sri Krishna, raised many weapons, as chakra, dhanushya, gada, khadga, all kinds of weapons. Astra shastras he lifted to kill variety of demons. He didn't spare anybody. He gave all chance for them to improve, but finally he killed them. That personality who said that, if you surrender unto me, I will give you only freedom from sins, no guarantee of love. That personality who came for Vinashaya cha Dushrutam, along with Paritranaya Sadhunam. That personality, as soon as Radharani entered in Bhav in him, you can see the transformation that took place in him. Very unique thing to think about and meditate upon. Why this happened? Because Radharani, the essence of Radharani entered in him. He accepted that in his heart. Radharani is love personified. And the essence of that, he accepted in his heart. And with that love, when he came, he became Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And then what happened? Very unique thing happened. In one shot, he delivered people of all their sins. Otherwise, shanai shanai. Gradually, as one performs ado shraddha, bhajana kriya, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anath nivruti, nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhavan, prem. Gradual things develop. But when Sri Krishna became Gauranga Mahaprabhu by the association of bhav of Radharani, he became instant healer. Jagaya and Majava were instantly delivered of their millions and trillions of all sins, which would make them otherwise take millions of births to suffer the sins that they performed in one lifetime. Instantly he delivered them, just by embracing them and just by making them chant the holy name. Accepted all their sins on himself. And at the same time, when they got free, they were endowed with ultimate loving devotion to himself, which is a like Papa Nivruti is a stage in between. Then you become, you get Nishta, and then you develop gradually Ruchi, Asakti and Bhav for Krishna. But here you can see ocean of sins getting completely eradicated, and immediately ocean of love appears, and Jagai Madhai are crying, shedding tears and rolling in the dust with love for Radha and Krishna. This transformation is taking place because of Radharani's presence in between the heart of Sri Krishna as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, otherwise he would be even, you know, very scrutinizingly discussing, looking at people, and then only thinking of giving love, if at all. Very, very rare thing to achieve from Sri Krishna, directly from Sri Krishna, is the love. The ultimate thing. Because what is the meaning of, Rupa Goswami also explains, our acharyas explained, what is the meaning of getting love from Krishna, for him? Or developing love for Krishna in our heart. What is the meaning of that? It means purchasing of Krishna. He becomes purchased. One of the six symptoms of Shuddha Bhakti, as explained by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is Sri Krishna Akarshini. When Sri Krishna gets attracted by the love that you have for him, he sells himself to you. Then what happens? The gopis will clap and Sri Krishna will dance. And they'll give little butter and then more butter, dance more. Then they'll clap. That means he just sells himself completely. And that he will do only after deliberation. But here, after accepting Radha Bhav, what is happening? Patre apatre na dekhila stane astan. Another transformation. He will not see a place, he will not see a situation, whether it is good or not good. Is the situation qualified or not? Yogya or ayogya? Is the person yogya or ayogya? He will not discriminate. He will just distribute love of Godhead. What he restricted to only gopis, only few gopis, not all gopis also. Only some qualified gopis. Later on all gopis participated, but in the beginning only selected gopis. That too, that means amongst the millions and trillions of Brajvasis who were there as a form of parental mood, serving, you know, servants and friends and relatives, everywhere there, only the young gopis were there in Rasila. That means the highest expression of love that the Supreme Personality expresses for his beloveds is Rasleela, actually. Another subject, confidential. But that love that he expressed for them confidentially in the middle of the night for duration of one night of Brahma, he brought down in the form of Harinam Sankirtan. That means you can imagine the magnanimity in the personality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is aspect of Radharani, actually. That person who is so restricted in giving his love and expressing his love, very scrutinizingly deliberate about it, he has become so liberal. That which was most confidential, he made it most public. All of us can chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And we can dance in ecstasy while being the chanting is going on, along with the instruments that are being played. All the miseries will run away from you. And love of Godhead that gopis experienced in the middle of Rasleela can be experienced by each one of us, at least for that much time when we are in the kirtan. That magnanimity was expressed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the secret behind all this is Radharani. So Harinam Sankirtan is the gift of Radharani to all of us. Because when she entered the heart of Krishna, this is what happened to Krishna, and Krishna decided to open the treasure of Rasleela to each and everybody in the material world without any discrimination of place, time and circumstances. That's why we are extremely grateful to Radharani. Because she is the cause behind Sri Krishna inaugurating the Harinam Sankirtan movement in the material world in Kali Yuga. And she is the cause behind making achieving Sri Krishna Prem and achieving Golok Vrindavan very easy in this time and age. She is the cause behind that. That's why demigods are standing in queue to take birth in the house of devotees who are taking part in the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. Because they know in 50-70 years we can go back to Godhead. Why live for lakhs of years in the Swargalokas? Intelligent ones amongst them. All of the demigods are not intelligent, but they go there as a result of their karma to enjoy sense gratification. Sorry to say that. But the few of them who are realized demigods by the mercy of Narad Muni, Angira Muni and other Munis who travel there and visit there, they are desiring to take birth in Kali Yuga in the house of devotees. Such precious Radharani has made Kali Yuga to be, to become. For which the sages worship Kali Yuga. That is the glory of Radharani. And what is the another thing we to understand? The glory of Radharani is very much hidden. It was only Gauranga Mahaprabhu who brought it out. That's why Vasudeva Ghosh is singing. If Gauranga Mahaprabhu was not there, how it would have been possible for us to know Radharani number one and the love that Radharani expressed and the limits of the loving exchanges Radharani had with Krishna and other people in this world. How we would have ever imagined to understand. So it is Sri Krishna accepting Radha Bhav broadcasted the personality of Radharani and the love of Radharani and the exchange and the limits of Radharani's love that we are aspiring to understand and achieve. He decided to do that. So, unknown Radharani became available and known to everybody by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Madhavendra Puri, we are grateful to him who introduced the principle of Radharani, the deity of Radharani next to Krishna. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu elaborated further, revealed the glory of Radharani's love through Harinam Sankirtan. And then much, much more he instructed Goswamis to broadcast the glories of the love of Radharani. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam is also Radharani's mercy actually. Why? How and why? Because Shuka, the parrot of Radharani, was in so much love with Radharani. And one day he went to Krishna and started glorifying Krishna, and then Lalita Vishakha came to pick him up. He was not going. And somehow Mother Yashoda called him to take breakfast with his father, and somehow bird was released. And then same bird who was in so much love with Radharani actually was instructed by Krishna along with Radharani's presence that you please stay back and broadcast the glories of me and my beloved's pastimes. So he reluctantly stayed back to fulfill the order of Krishna. He went to Kailas, heard it from Lord Shiva. He wanted to hear from some senior person the glories of, although he knew everything, but out of humility he wanted to also hear from a senior person about Radha and Krishna. So I went to Kailash and heard. Then Parvati was actually hearing and Shiva was narrating. She went to sleep when philosophical discussion was going on and third canto. And she woke up at the end of 12th canto. So Shuka, the bird, was attentively listening because he didn't want Lord Shiva to stop because she slept. So he kept on responding by various sounds. Very good, nice, very good, very good, very good. And he was immersed and he was closed eyes. When he ended Bhagavatam, he opened his eyes, saw his wife sleeping. So she said, My dear Lord, I am very sorry, I went to sleep, I missed everything. So he said, who was hearing then? So they saw the Shuka was there, and he understood that bird who is not qualified to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, he heard it, so he took his trident and chased the bird, and the bird ran all the way to Himalayas, and he went to Badrikashram, where Vyasadeva was narrating Srimad Bhagavatam to his wife, and she was so enwrapped in attention. That is, sometimes when you are totally engrossed, your mouth opens. Like so much in ecstasy hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So he straight entered her mouth. And from her mouth he entered her womb. And Lord Shiva wanted to kill that bird. So Vyasadeva said, why are you after this bird? He said, no, bird is not supposed to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, only human beings. Because after hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the living entity becomes immortal. He conquers the cycle of birth and death. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. So then sir, you are saying the same thing that bird already has heard. That means he has become immortal. So forget it. Why you want to kill him? So Shiva also understood. He put his trident down and he went away. And then this bird stayed in the womb of Vyasadeva's wife for 18 years. 16 years. And he came out. And he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, there's a long story. How he came out, he walked away, he came back again. He heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Shiva, then from Vyasadeva in the womb to make him come out. And then again after that he again learned from his father Srimad Bhagavatam. Many times he learned to just, you know, really digest and really assimilate. And he is the one who spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. And because he was in so much love with Radharani, what he spoke actually was actually devotional service. And devotional service is the essence of the personality of Radharani. She is the best of all devotees of Krishna, the emblem of devotion. So what she does is called Aradhana, the devotional service. And that is what he explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. So what he spoke was what he all in his existence as a parrot and later on he was meditating upon, that only he was expressing. But he didn't utter the word Radha because he knew that if he would utter the word Radha, he would go into 6 months of ecstasy. And only 7 days for Parikshit. So out of compassion, he restricted his emotion and did not utter the word Radha, although he wanted to explain in the name of Radha everything what he had to explain. But he only indirectly mentioned. The Rasik devotees also explain that when something is beautiful and you cover it half and half open, it becomes more beautiful and attractive. That is why all of us human beings are told that if our ladies are beautiful, they should cover themselves. So that once it is covered, it is secret and confidential. Very lot of anxiety is there. What is there? But when it is opened, then what is there? There is no any more anxiety about it. So Rasik Acharyas explain that the beautiful thing should be always covered, a little bit exposed, so that people become very attracted to that. So that is why Shukadev Goswami ji covered Srimad Bhagavatam without uttering the name of Radharani. But actually the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam is Radharani only. Srimad Bhagavatam is description of Radharani indirectly. It is description of Radha's love for Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam describes devotional service, which is the domain of Radharani. Devotional service to Krishna, and that devotional service is personified in Radha. And that's how we can understand that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who accepted Radha Bhav and appeared in this world internally to experience her glories of love, and externally to deliver everybody by the holy name of the Lord. But what he was studying all the time? Srimad Bhagavatam. He would go to Gadadhar Pandit. Who is she? Who is he? Radharani herself. And Gadadhar Pandit, who is Radharani herself, would recite Srimad Bhagavatam every day in the afternoon for 2 to 3 hours to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would dance in ecstasy while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Especially the pastimes of Prahlad and Dhruva, and many times. Hundreds of times he heard and he danced in ecstasy. Now you can understand the connection. Radha, Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srimad Bhagavatam, Shuka, all this is connected. So we have to understand that our devotional path that Srila Prabhupada has given us is all the best things which are actually confidential. In a very systematic manner it is presented to us. What he presented to us? The holy name, the satsang of devotees, Srimad Bhagavatam, worship of Tulsi. Is that right? Residing in Dham. All these beautiful things that he has presented in a very systematic manner. Even a new devotee can understand and participate. Even though we are not qualified to understand Radha Tattva, but still, by following the methods given by Srila Prabhupada in a very systematic manner, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordained and made it available to all of us, that Srila Prabhupada has made it available to all of us. Right from initial stage to middle stage to last stage, if you follow the formula, it is said the morning program which Srila Prabhupada introduced entails 42 principles of 64 principles given by Rupa Goswami. And another scripture which is Radharani herself is called as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, written by Rupa Goswami, where all the technical details about the devotional service, which means Radharani herself, are explained in very beautiful technical manner. So there he explains 64 points of devotional service, and 42 of them are performed simply by attending Mangalarti till Prasadam. What does that mean? If you simply participate in the movement of Srila Prabhupada, you are actually understanding Radha Tattva without even knowing that you are understanding it. That is the mercy of a pure devotee. What is the meaning of pure devotee? The most confidential things which are available, which are not to be discussed in public, the pure devotees are so expert that they percolate those confidential things so nicely amongst common men, even they can understand, they can become qualified. Prabhupada gave that qualification to all those followers that he had initially in very fallen condition, made them qualified and made them understand the glory of Radharani's love for Krishna, that is bhakti for us, and distributed that in their palatable way to all of us and all of them. So the Prabhupada's father would call sadhus at home every day in the afternoon, feed them prasad, and in the end bring his son Abhay to those sadhus and tell them that please bless my son that he becomes a great devotee of Radharani. So Srila Prabhupada also is a great devotee of Radharani. What he carried in the heart, what we say is he carried Vrindavan, and Vrindavan mellows, Vrindavan love in his heart. That means what he carried? He carried Radharani in the heart. In essence, the realization of bhakti, devotional service, is the personality of Radharani, which is very confidential. But when you perform bhakti, chants the holy name of the Lord, ultimately what is revealed to you is the principle of Radharani, the love that we are supposed to have for Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada took that in his heart, captured that in the heart by living in Vrindavan and by performing his sadhana whole life. And that he went and distributed in a very wonderful way. Only a pure devotee can do that. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Parivartan. that transformation that Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada could cause in the hearts of all the Westerners and all the Indians afterwards is the mercy of Radharani. That is why we consider the Guru as the representative of Srimati Radharani. They actually carry the principle of devotional service, which is Radharani, in their hearts and distribute to everybody as per time, place and circumstances. So we are extremely grateful to Prabhupada. This year we are celebrating the 50th anniversary of the establishment of the organization of ISKCON. Is that yesterday was the date, Baldev Prabhu? Which day it was formed? In ISKCON was organized and established? Somewhere in this week only, some date. That means in 1966. That means we are now in 50th year. 50 years will be over in the 2016 in this week. Srila Prabhupada formed International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And in disguise, in essence, he distributed the love of Radharani to everybody. We are very fortunate to be part of this movement. Please understand. The personality who is unknown, who is confidential, I will describe few things about her personality, some more description. Who is Radharani? She is the very essence of love personified. She is Kripa Adhishtatri, that means she is the very emblem of and the source of Kripa, the mercy, Karuna. Rasa Adhishtatri, that means Rasa means the purified emotion of love that one develops in the heart after the heart is freed of sins and sinful reactions. So she is the foundation of this rasa. She is Sri Krishna Paripurika. That means she makes Krishna complete personality. Without her, Krishna is incomplete. She is very embodiment and source of Mahabhav. And Mahabhav is made by Rati, Sneha, Prem, Pranay, Rag, Anurag, Bhav and Man. These eight things comprise of Mahabhav. And she is a source of that. Because of that, Krishna gets Mahabhav. As per Devi Bhagavat, it is explained, Radharani is Param Adi Shakti, the original power, original potency of the Lord, and she is also the mother of Mahavishnu, Mahavishnu Janani. She is also addressed as Sri Krishna Hriday Sanjeevani, that means she is the sustenance, the source of sustenance for the heart of Sri Krishna. What does he sustain? How does he sustain himself on the love of Radharani? The last description about her personality is very wonderful. Please give your thought to that. Rasa is mellow of devotion, is a purified emotion of love that we develop in the course of time for Krishna. And the rasa is like ocean, you know. And this rasa is resourced at Radharani. She is the source of all this rasa. And Radha is described as premanavani. That means if you churn the ocean of rasa, if butter comes out, that butter is Radharani. Premanavamid. That means the essence of that ras is Radharani. Vedas emanate from the sound of the ankle bells when she walks. All the Vedas that we see, all the Shrutis that have taken birth from the sound of her ankle bells, and those Shrutis finally then they worshipped her and they became gopis afterwards. But they have taken birth from her lotus feet only. Rasa is born from her and then received by Krishna. And then Rasa Vikas, the development of Rasa is done after it is received from her. And Rasa Prasar, that means the distribution of the Rasa all over a Braja, is after she gives it to Krishna, then it is delivered to all Brajvasis, all over the Braj, then all over the material world, all over the spiritual world. The Rasa is available only because of her. That personality we are discussing today, whose appearance is tomorrow. So we should be extremely grateful, although being very, very unqualified, we are able to know something about that most confidential personality by the mercy of Lord Gauranga, by the mercy of Madhavendra Puri, Lord Gauranga, six Goswamis, all our Acharyas, and our dear Srila Prabhupada, and our beloved Guru Maharaj, Acharya Vrinda. Still, we are not even touching the tip of the iceberg, but still, even that tip of the iceberg is enough for us to go back to Godhead. That is the most important thing. So that personality whose Brahma is worshipping, whose Brahma has become stone, become mountain in the abode of Radharani in Barsana. Lord Shiva becomes a gopi to dress up and dance and to call out the name of Radharani. All rishis, sages, demigods come to Barsana in disguise to call Srimati Radharani. Even Sri Krishna, who is sought after by everybody in Vrindavan, whose dust is wanted by everybody in Vrindavan, people come and roll in the dust of Vrindavan like Akrura rolled, all demigods are rolling, so that they can get some mercy of Sri Krishna. That personality of Supreme Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna rolls in the dust of Barsana to achieve the favor of Radharani. Even Jayadeva Goswami was stuck in while writing his scripture, Gita Govind. He could understand the activity of Krishna of rolling in the dust at the feet of Radharani. He stopped writing. And then Sri Krishna himself had to come and write those verses to release the blockage of Jayadeva Goswami's writing the scripture. Imagine. Such is the personality of Radharani. Most difficult to understand. Because of that, Krishna's behavior becomes most ununderstanding, most inconceivable. We are celebrating that personality's birthday. And how it is connected to us? If you simply chant the holy name, that we say Hare Krishna. We say Hare Krishna is Radha Krishna. Hara is the also another name of internal potency of the Lord. Hare is the address. So when Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu gave us this Mahamantra, he also very intelligently put Hare before Krishna. Hare before Ram. And if you count the names of Krishna and Ram and count Hare, which are more? Hare is more. It is very significant to understand. Because through her only we receive Krishna and receive Ram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if you simply chant the holy name, and while chanting we are conscious that we are addressing and approaching Krishna through the agency of Radharani, through chanting the name Hare, keeping very well consciousness and awareness of her being in between, then by her grace, Sri Krishna will look at us and our devotional life will be fulfilled and complete. So how we prepare for Radhashtami? What is the preparation? We just understand that she is the Ashray Vigraha, the source of our shelter. She is the shelter house. And by taking her shelter, we are going to achieve Sri Krishna and loving devotional service to him, some seva to him. And she is so merciful that even though we are not qualified, we have sincere heart, sincere desire to become a devotee. We are filled with anarthas, but if you have sincere desire to become devotee of Sri Krishna and we approach her, very kindly she accepts us, corrects us, cleans us through the agency of Lalita and Vishakha with their help, purifies us and makes us presentable to Sri Krishna. And when she presents us, Sri Krishna cannot refuse, even though he wants to refuse. If we would have otherwise approached him directly, no chance. But we approach her with sincere, humble heart, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told us, Pranadapi, Sunichena, Taro, Riva, Sahishna, Amanina, Manadina, Kirtaniya, Sadahari. Keeping this mood, whose mood is this? This mood is Radharani's mood, expressed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Radha Bhav, Sri Krishna is expressing. With that bhav, if we approach her, then she will make us eligible to be offered to Krishna, and Krishna will accept us because she is offering us to her, us to him. Our only hope is Radharani. When she will accept us, mold us, purify us, and offer to Krishna, then our life will become perfect and complete. And that is why the common practical activity to be done is to consciously and with full awareness take shelter of the lotus feet of Radharani from now onwards, tomorrow. Because when on her appearance day, she is so much ocean of mercy, she becomes multiplied by millions of times merciful. Karuna, she is a ocean of Karuna. Karuna Mai, Vatsalya Mai, Kripa Mai, Prema Mai, the various descriptions of her personality. So tomorrow, we approach her with this mood of being most fallen, most unqualified, but begging for her shelter. And she will give shelter if we are sincere in the heart. And also we are celebrating tomorrow the appearance day of our two row of our friends. One is on her left side, that is Vishakha Devi. And one is Champaklata Devi, who is not here, but who is in Ashtasakhi, who stands on the right side of Lalita. Lalita and Champaklata, next to each other. So we'll tell you in few words, because it is also important to glorify them. Vishakhadevi was born in Anjanpur on the Ashtami day, same day. And she has luster like electricity. That is, bijli ko kya bolte hain? Thunder, lightning, vidyut. She wears dress like stars, taravali. Her dearmost kunja is Vasundha, Vasudha kunja. The dearmost instrument that Vishakha plays is the dearmost instrument of Radharani also. I forgot to mention to you, Radharani's dearmost rag is Puriya Dhanashri. Dearmost equipment is Veena. Dearmost color of dress is blue, Sunila Vasana Gauri. But she wears pink blouse and blue lower garment. And Vishakha plays, and her rag is Puriya Dhanashri, and Vishakha's dear rag is Sarang, and varieties of Sarang also. Anyway, long description is there, but Champaklata also is important. Champaklata is born in a village called Karahela on Ashtami day to Gunabhanu and Samita. And her color is like Champa flower. Her dear Vastra is blue, like Nilkantha bird. And her Kunja is Visada Kunja. Why this Kunja? Because they have their own groves where they serve Krishna. Her Priya Vadhya is Santur, Swaramandal. She is very expert in that. And Champaklata's main service is she cooks for Krishna. She is very expert in Pasha Khela. You know what is Pasha Khela? The youth, sari part that they play, chess. The kings play with the queens. She is very expert in that. And she serves Radharani to win the game of Pasha Khela with Krishna. When Krishna defeats Radharani and Gopis in all the games except Pasha Khela. So they come to Radhakund in the bank of Radhakund in the afternoon. After taking bath, they play and defeat Krishna in that game. So Lalita is very expert in cooking sweetmeats. And it is explained that when our ladies and we cook in the kitchen, we should always remain in the mood that we are in the kitchen of Yashoda number 1, Radharani number 2 and Champaklata number 3. These are the authorities for cooking for Krishna in the hierarchy. Yashoda number 1, Radharani number 2 and third is Champaklata. So we should always cook in our kitchen in the mood that we are serving Yashoda, Radharani and Champaklata. Anyway, all these very beautiful ladies are very dear to Radha. They serve her to serve Krishna. Radharani is very mild in nature. What we say in Hindi, bholi, you know, very simple hearted. And the same quality are carried by Brijvasis also. They are very simple hearted. There is nothing in and nothing out. No difference is there. And His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj had told us that what attracts the heart of Krishna actually is simple heartedness, is simplicity. And now I must end my discussion with all of you with one small narration. In 1986, in the end of the year in December, for the first time His Holiness Radhanath Swami took us to Barsana, took us to Vrindavan. And He came to receive us at the Mathura station. We were young boys, 22 of us only. And He came to receive us at the Mathura station, and Mathura station only gave us a class, welcome class, for which we go to Pogla Ashram now, in thousands of number, and it is a welcome class, right? Creating the mood of being in Vrindavan. That class was given in 1986 at the railway station of Mathura. That place is still there where we met. And very few lines He spoke. The one line that has got stuck in our brain is that He said that moment we enter Vrindavan till we board the train again, and then for all life to come, we should keep begging for the mercy of Radharani in the inner chambers of our heart. If any pleasure you want to give to Krishna or any mercy of Krishna you want to attract to yourself, you should all practice to pray and beg for the mercy of Radharani constantly. And that is the secret of success in life. One who begs for the mercy of Radharani need not fear for anything in life. Nothing can touch him or her. Nothing can disturb that personality. One who is constantly meditating and praying and begging for the mercy of Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani ki jai. Radhashtami Mahamahotsav ki Thai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. So I wish all of you my heartfelt prayers that you all will be successful in preparing your consciousness and preparing your mood to take shelter of Srimati Radharani with humble prayers and begging mood. And may Radharani give shelter to all of us and make our life perfect and help us to serve Krishna. Thank you very much. So now I invite His Grace Shyamachandra Prabhu, who is, please do not go. We have few minutes of beautiful slideshow for you. His Grace Shyamachandra Prabhu is preaching in Karachi, Pakistan.